Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said, life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out.
Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Hello and welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. So glad that you're here. On the show today, we are hobos. Hobos is a conjunctive word. Did you know that? It actually means homeward bound.
Homeward bound. I wish I was homeward bound. Home, where my thoughts are skipping. Home, where my music's playing. Home, where my love lies waiting silently for me.
I'll never look at that word the same again. And Father Ed Hayes is the one that taught me that. And if you listen to the show frequently, you're very familiar with him by now. But he has a book, and it's called The Lenten Hobo Honeymoon. And he talks about that. And that's us as we are journeying together, pilgrims on this journey, homeward bound to our final destination. Jesus Christ himself at the Last Supper in the book of Luke talks about that. He says, in my Father's house, there are many dwellings. Places. If there were not, would I have told you, I am going to prepare a place for you. So I pray that as you journey through Lent this year, that you'll feel a little closer to home and making strides as we climb that mystical mountain. And we're going to talk a little bit about the climb on the show today. Sometimes you feel stuck in the same hill over and over again, sometimes day after day, maybe year after year. And then every now and then, the Lord shows us that we've really gone a lot further than what we thought. And that happened recently. Just want to share that and how we can all appreciate where we are in the journey right now. And as we kick off, I have a few thank yous to offer. Mom is back on the show today. We're going to talk a little bit about the retreat. Very eclectic mix today. But right away, I just want to say thank you, thank you, thank you. God bless you to our newest Podbean patron, our good friend of the show. She has asked to remain anonymous, so I respect that, but I'm thankful. And with her support, we offer prayers as a family every day. And that's how it works with the Podbean patron program. You become a good friend, and we're just grateful for your prayers, your encouragement, for you listening. And I have to say, though, a quick note to the patrons. I was so excited. I shared on the show we're going to do these Lenten devotions that only the patrons will receive just as a thank you as we walk through Lent, these reflections. So I was, yes, right on top of things. I recorded it, and I curated the content, pulled the production elements, sent it to my producer, went to publish, and then there was a block on the premium content. So, you know, I would like to say that I have mastered every platform of media and I quickly got through that and it was no problem. But I wasn't able to figure it out. And the reality is I kind of banged my fist on the table and, you know, was allowing it to kind of ruin my day because I want to deliver on that promise. But it's still a work in progress. So I just ask for your patience, those who are waiting for that. And since it's already done, I may just go ahead and publish that episode for everybody because otherwise it'll just sit there and, you know, maybe that's not what the Lord wants. He wants to get it out there for everybody. So I'm still working on it. I haven't forgotten you. And thank you for your patience. And if you want to reach out anytime, we love your feedback. You can reach out by sending us a note at feedback@goodthingsradio.com. Today's opening prayer is a little bit of a long one, but I think that this is a season that warrants it, that just a few more seconds of prayer is a good thing. And it's funny, I have a talk coming up that I've been preparing for. And one of the things that I share is a condition. I don't know if we've talked about this in the program before, but it's called hurried woman syndrome. And 30 million ladies a year are diagnosed with this. You have headaches, fatigue, depression, and this chronic rush that we're all in, I think we can all relate to that. But that's what I love about Lent. It calls us out of that, just like Advent does to a degree. And maybe there's not much that we can do about our schedule right now, what we're doing today, the routine, but we can stop and breathe in, or as Father Nathan calls it, exhale. And that's when we pray. So as we begin, let's do that together in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Lord, let everything I do this day and in this season of Lent come from you and be inspired by you. I long to be closer to you. Help me to remember that nothing is important in my life unless it glorifies you in some way. It's so easy to get caught up in the day-to-day of my life and just keep saying, tomorrow I will spend more time in prayer. But now my longing meets your love, and I want to do that now. Help me to rely on you for help. The prayer asks that you and I reach perfection. Please, Lord, remind me that perfection isn't the crazy successful way that we try to live our lives, but a perfection of our most authentic, real self. My perfection might be holding my many flaws in my open hands, asking you to help me accept them. Heal me, Lord, and help me find you in the darkness of my life. Let me reach out in this darkness and feel your hand and love there to guide me. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And in trying to think about today's show, in a personal note, it's been a really challenge for me because this is one of those weeks where everything hits at once. And there's a big gala that I have on Saturday, just a wonderful opportunity to connect with people who are supportive on the grieving process. It's called Cornerstone of Hope. And there will be a former governor there and dignitaries and all sorts of people. So to try to MC that in an articulate way, it takes a little bit of preparation, at least for me at least. So that's that. And then on the 20th, for the Ohio friends listening, I want to invite you to St. Bridget of Kildare Church in Parma. There's an event. It's all day. I'm just one little component, but the entire day is designed to help you have a mini retreat. It's a Women's Day of Reflection, and it's going to start at 9:15. The website is stbridgetparma.com. But on top of that is the retreat, my son Grant's birthday. He's going to turn 12 on Valentine's Day. So I've just been praying about what the Lord would want for this particular program because my mind is in a million other places. But I thought then it would be fitting to talk a little bit about balance because what do you think, Mom?
I agree. Totally.
I'm laughing because you're perched up on this stool. It's a, what did I just say?
Chair.
You're perched
with a step stool.
Yeah. This is the picture. So Mom is here dressed in red because it's Valentine's Day and she always dresses for the season. Green will be in March, all month probably for St. Patrick's Day. But you have this chair and on top of that is a stool because you want to get closer to the mic.
Yes. You said it's important and it's the only way I can is to be higher.
Okay. Well, that was a perfect segue because we're talking about balance and walking a high wire, which is kind of what we feel like our lives are a lot of times. And we just aren't doing it very well, very steadily. There's a movie that we watched last weekend. It's called The Walk and it's fantastic. It's rated PG. It's about Philippe Petit. And can you say that?
Philippe Petit.
Very good. It's fun to say that. So he's French. And I had seen this film called Man on a Wire a couple years, several years ago. And it's about his story. It was a documentary, but it did not cast him in a very favorable light. He's an amazing man that was able to walk from the north to the south tower, Twin Towers, World Trade Center, before it was even built. It was just in the final process of the final stages. And he snuck up there and with a team, they called it the coup. But this movie offered a different light. And I realized that original documentary wasn't really a fair perception because he's in his 60s now. He's very wise. And he was kind of, you know, a young kid at that time, you know, wanted to conquer the world. But this is a fantastic film. So if you're looking for a movie as a family, as a date night, whatever, I recommend it. But if you're afraid of heights, it's going to be an issue because you get vertigo even watching the trailer.
Good.
You said good?
I said you could.
Oh, you could. So I want to show a little bit of the trailer, at least the audio. So take a listen.
When people ask me, why do you risk death? For me, this is life. My dream. Two magnificent towers, 100 meters taller than the Eiffel Tower itself. What do you think?
I don't know. It looks so... so
beautiful,
yes, and dangerous and completely insane, and you're a madman.
Yes, I'm mad, but this is my dream.
Then if it's your dream, you must do it.
But even if everybody tells me I'm mad?
Well, you shouldn't care about what other people think.
Okay, but I care what you think.
Welcome to New York. Anything to declare?
I'm going to hang a high wire between the two towers of the World Trade Center and work on it.
Good luck.
No matter where I was going or what I was doing, I was always searching, looking for the perfect place to hang my wire.
Whoa.
I need you to help me pull this off. I got just the guys. Now it starts.
Come on, make it snappy. I'm in a red zone.
I'll figure out how to get the wire across. I think we should wait.
No!
This is extremely illegal, not to mention dangerous.
You're going to wear a safety belt underneath your costume attached to a safety line.
I am not going to do this walk with a safety line hanging off
from
me.
From that height, it will be invisible. No one will have any idea.
Years ago, you told me something I always remember. You said you cannot lie on stage. The audience will always know what is inside your heart.
My head is full of doubts.
When it's time to step on the wire, I don't know if I'll be able to take my first step.
Your heart will tell you what to do.
The man is obviously crazy. Are we just here to watch him die?
This isn't a game, Philippe. One mistake out there, and you're going to die.
So there you have it. You get the gist, but it's really well done. And what's interesting is after the film, I decided to do some research on him. I watched some more. I wanted to know if he was a believer. I wanted to know where he is today. He's got a lot of great videos when he's talking about his philosophy on life. He's talking about making mistakes and how important mistakes are. They are our greatest teacher. And he says, you know, if he's cutting something and a friend walks in and he cuts his finger, you know, he didn't focus. He lost his concentration, but he made a mistake and he knows that he can't do that next time. And we're so easy to want to protect our kids from making any mistakes. And as long as they don't get hurt too bad, this can be a positive thing. It's the way God teaches us and we learn and he forgives. And in his mercy, you know, we do better. So it all works together. But take a listen. He talks a little bit about that here. And this in particular is the clip where he's saying, you can do whatever you set your mind to. The Lord has given you dreams. If you believe it, you can do it. And one of the things that he talks about fittingly is balance. And he says, even for him, it has been a challenge in life. And the parallels between the balance and what he does in a very literal sense to balancing the things in our lives. And I really appreciated his wisdom. But part of what he talks about is that we first need to believe in ourselves, in where God has us today and what we can do, and not taking no for an answer. And before I play this clip, I just want to let you know it can be a little tough to understand. But he's got the coolest accent. I could listen to him talk all day, that cool French accent. But he is asked, how is it that you were able to pull off this feat? Were you born with a certain gift for being able to walk at that height and not be afraid and overcome and be petrified? And he basically said, no, anybody can do this. It's not like you're born with a certain way. It's about developing it and not taking no for an answer. So take a listen.
Again, we're talking about believing in yourself, believing in what you love, and not taking no for an answer, not even your own no. If you do, you know, I hate when I see teenagers and they try something. Let's say they try, I don't know, to balance on something or try a trick with a ball. And oh, I cannot do it. They try once and they say, oh, I cannot do it. They give up and they leave dragging their feet. Now, not everyone, but I have seen that. And it infuriates me because here's a young person. They're already dead.
So the reason that I wanted to share that with you is because over the years, and on top of everything else that goes on in the complex life of a mom, a working mom, a stay-home mom, single mom, whatever the case might be, a widow, you have things that you feel you just never have balance in. And for me, that's the area of my life with my daughter, where on a daily basis, I just feel like I'm getting it wrong and I didn't do enough and we're not getting anywhere. And at the same time, that comment that you heard in that clip has been said in to us and our family about adoption or about living seemingly at peace with a diagnosis of autism, of special needs, of global developmental delays, of people have said, I don't know if I could do that. And of course they could, because love will inspire you to do anything. It'll inspire you to do amazing things, and you can do it. And people, it happens all the time. You can do so much more than you ever imagined when you have love. But what I wanted to share with you about that is, in terms of my daughter, and just to give you a little bit about her, she's going to be 6 years old in June, and she would be considered nonverbal, but she does say a lot of words. She's able to label. It's just not reciprocal very often. It's not a conversation. She's understanding a lot more too. So if I say you need to take your bath, she will go upstairs and go in the bathroom. That's huge. And these things are such joyful victories. But at the same time, it is a daily challenge. This was the first year that she's ever had a Valentine's party for her class, where she had to bring in written Valentines and write her name. So with 30 kids in the class, I sat her down and was determined that we were going to do this. Hand over hand, I would write her name. To even put a utensil, pencil, crayon, fork, she'll hold a spoon, in her hand is torture for her. And my perception of it is because she knows that it's hard for her. And she doesn't want to do it because it's hard. And it's not because she's, you know, lazy or a drama queen. It's because it's hard for her. And so the minute that I put that pen in her hand, she began to headbutt me, to scream. And, you know, an autism scream is not your average scream. There are different pitches, and they're screaming for every circumstance. There's the I'm angry scream. There's the I'm really happy scream. There's the I'm tired scream and I want down now scream. But that's her way at this stage of communicating her feeling. And in the Lord and his wisdom and the love of child and parent allows you to understand your child where they are. And so we were going to do these Valentines, and I'm helping her. And every single one is torture for her and for me. She's screaming. She's pulling her hand away. She's never liked hand over hand if you're trying to help her put a coin in a, you know, in a jar or something. But especially with this, because she knows what I'm going to do, that I'm going to make her try to write her name. And I think for a parent, there is a circumstance where you have to decide, is this a moment where we're going to make this breakthrough and it's going to be like a movie scene where we stick it out and we do every last one. And at the end, we're tired and exhausted and we're both in tears, but she did it. Or is it going to be like a reality check where I say, this is ridiculous. There's no point in this. And it's gone on for long enough. I'm going to let her down and just, she can scribble on them when she wants to. So the reason that I share that is because in that particular scene, over the last 5 years, similar scenes have been played out over and over and over again. And even to when we go to for her birthday or Christmas, we're still in the infant section. We've never left the infant section of toys and books, because she wants books that she can chew on and toys that make music. And we have tried to get the toys that help a little bit more in the cognitive development. But even when she would accomplish something, for me, it was mixed with such grief. I remember when we were, and I don't know if I've shared this on the podcast before, but when we were at a vacation in the beach in South Carolina, someone came up to her and they were talking to her and they were saying, "Hi, how old are you?" And I was pretending like she was going to talk back to them. And I was saying, "Well, Carolina, how old are you?" And I knew she wasn't going to talk. "Oh, her name's Carolina." But after that moment, I broke down in such a fit of sobbing to my husband, because I recognized that she wasn't going to talk. And I didn't know how to handle it at that situation. And he said, "Just tell her she's autistic. It's okay." And what happened is that I found, we have a computer that we haven't used in years. And my husband recently hooked it up and put it in the kitchen so that we could see when the kids were doing their homework. And I fired it up. And on my side of the computer was a video that I had recorded about the progress of Carolina, intending to post it on my blog, which I never did. I'm glad I didn't publish it, but I'm so glad I recorded it. And I could see then, at that moment, that I was in a state of new grief. I was grieving a life that I had thought and dreamed and prayed for, when I would have a daughter, that I would have a daughter that we would do things together. She would help me in the kitchen, that we would go to church together, that we would, sing songs together, which we do sing songs, and that we'd go shopping, and all these things that you imagine and you dream of, just like dads with boys. And that reality of this, I have to put to rest, I don't want to say bury, but put to rest, be at peace, that that isn't the life that we're going to have. And I can love my daughter just as much where she is. And I do, and I always have. Love has never been an issue from the day that we, from that moment, met her in Poland. And she smiled at us and with her one tooth to the day that we brought her out of that orphanage. But I think that the hardship for me is that you want to feel that you're doing the best for your child. And to the degree that she succeeds is to the degree that I invest my life. And at this moment in that video, I think there was a point in time where I thought that she still might catch up. And I was white knuckling it, gripping so hard this dream of, I am not going to accept what the doctors say. Because there again, you're going to say, I'm not going to accept it. And it's that diagnosis of you're not going to walk again or you're never going to recover. No, I reject that. And then there's a point where you do accept reality to a point where you're able to move forward with where you are. And so looking at that video, my point is finally, that as I see it today, I finally see how far I actually have come. And I share that with you, this long story, because wherever you are in your Lenten journey or in your life today, I just think it's a reminder that we have to celebrate our victories, our Ebenezer stones. And if you look at scripture, an Ebenezer stone was a victory stone that was erected to show God's faithfulness in battle, this victory. And so when I see now my daughter for the first time consistently always saying bye-bye all the time when people leave, I can now celebrate that and smile and not cry with it, because normally I would be crying and saying, but she's almost six and she's now just saying bye-bye. But it's a blessing. And so feeling like you're climbing this mountain, never getting anywhere, like you're on an escalator, you're just never going up, that video did show me that I can look down and there's an entire landscape underneath me that that I've been able to cover and walk through and past and up with the help of the Lord. So I don't know if you want to add anything to that, Mom, but that was something on my heart today that wasn't written down, wasn't planned for, but just felt as we think about going out into the wilderness and being tempted and being stretched and all the ways that God pulls us when we step out of our comfort zone, which is what we're called to do during Lent, He reveals things to us that wouldn't have come any other way.
I always believe that it's a blessing when God brings that insight of a struggle, that we keep going. We just claim and believe in God's grace all along the way. But then God has mercy on us, knowing our humanity and knowing that we need encouragement and affirmation, the same way that God the Father gave Jesus that encouragement at when Jesus was baptized and said, "This is my beloved Son." And we hear that from God when we recognize that He's been with us every step of the way, and even though we've trudged along, sometimes being very discouraged, but then when He shows that heavenly light on the journey, we are buoyed up as if we're treading water, and then it's like, well, He's had a life preserver under you the whole time. And it is just thanksgiving and gladness and appreciation that He has allowed each of us individually and as families and as community, whatever the relationships are where we share each other's burdens, that we know God is with us and His strength and His mercy is new every morning.
Amen. And I think in order to feel that, we need to be in a place where we are ready to receive that truth. And part of Satan's ploys is clouding our mind and filling it with this negative self-talk that you're not good enough. There's a consistent shortcoming that you can't conquer. I mean, when we go to reconciliation and we examine our conscience, we go back to that over and over again. I keep doing this. And why can't I change? It's so hard to kind of step out of patterns.
But that is also a ploy of the enemy, because when, you know, that negative track is in your brain, it's so hard to do any, you know, different. And we talked a little bit about that in the last episode, how we can so often do that, and this real self and false self that comes into play. And the real self is who we are in God's eyes. And so often he would be much more merciful than we are to ourselves. And you found something, I'm going to share this in the talk coming up on the 20th, but it's five ploys of Satan, always a matter of faith and prayer, but to be aware of his strategies, because as we talk about spiritual warfare, you want to be able to, you know, conquer that. So could you share those five ploys?
Yes. Binding Satan is always a matter of faith and prayer, yet it also helps to be aware of his strategies. Number one, doubt tempts us to question God's word and his goodness, forgiveness, and his love. Two, discouragement tempts us to focus intently on our problems rather than entrusting them to God's care. Diversion tempts us to see the wrong things as attractive, so that we will want them more than the right things. Defeat tempts us to feel like a failure, so that we don't even try. Delay tempts us to procrastinate, so that things never get done.
Oh, is that the truth? That last one is so true.
Thank you so much, Mom. Any closing thoughts to that segment?
In a perspective of something that we didn't think about, just really awakens us to be more receptive, as you said, to God's grace, God's help. And it's like we're on track. We're on track. And we are better able to live this life with the happiness and the confidence and the trust that God wants us to. He doesn't want us to be sick with worry.
Yeah, that's the truth too. And speaking of having confidence, we've got the retreat coming up, and that's what it's all set up to do. So we are equipped to leave and just float out of there. Quick retreat update. Okay, so we are officially less than 1 month away from the Arise Good Things Radio retreat, and we have three tickets left. Now, and I'm not sure by the time this podcast airs if they will be taken off the site, because I do have a woman who has said, I'm buying the tickets, I'm committed, and it's going to happen, I know. But and so there's five right now. But anyway, so three tickets left, essentially. That's it. The goodie bags are growing. The secret Facebook group has been established. That is wonderful. People are making introductions and meeting. And the fun thing is that now we're at the stage where we're finalizing the schedule and kind of going back over everything with Father Nathan. Are we sure we want to put this here? Is this going to flow into that? And one thing that we're going to do that I've never done, I think you've made a silent retreat before, is he has suggested having a silent breakfast every morning. Now, there's lunch and dinner, and the entire time it's designed of that mix of talking but silence, you know, where we can have fellowship, but there's also appropriate times that we all need to have quiet. And so he suggested silent reading, where we eat in silence, but then he's going to do reading. He's going to have a microphone and a chair, and he'll read, you know, from a sacred text. But have you ever experienced anything like that?
Going back to the high school days, that was part of our, I don't remember what the weekly rotation was, whether it was lunch was in silence or whether there was times where it varied, but we would have a reader that would read, like you said, either from scripture or an inspirational book.
Okay.
Well, and so everyone was in silence. So I had that experience early on.
And how was it? Were people able to do it? Because I'm like, what happened? Can we do it? No, we can't. We have to.
Well, I guess I'll interject a little bit of a personal part. I think when you are in high school and you are just discovering some of your strengths, that I was chosen to be a reader at mealtime. And it was so fulfilling. I think there's somewhere in scripture, and I know that I cannot quote it accurately, but Jesus said that his food was to do the will of God. And I was so happy. I was so just entering into the meaning and the concept of what I was reading to be able to share that with all the other sisters and girls there, that it was like a meal in a way that I understood the words that Jesus was saying because I felt it.
You know what? I think they do that in Call the Midwife. I think they do that too because that is a practice in in convents. Okay. Yes. That's really neat. And then finally, before we wrap up, you on the last episode where you were here, not the last one, but the one before, talked about the intro of the show and that montage, the Susan Powder clip. I'm just a housewife who figured it out, which no one will ever be able to hear now the same, good or bad, because you said that irritates you. It needs to come out of there. And was thinking that it was meant literally, which now I feel terrible about because it's not totally at all. But the funny thing is that Jenny, great, fantastic, Good Things Radio friend. She, in fact, our very first Podbean patron, she's like, I so agree with your mom. Thank you, hallelujah. And then another listener said, yes, that irritates me. That's the word she uses. And so it makes me feel bad. But then, so I was like, forget it. Okay, it's done. I'm taking it out. And then I got this Marie email, I'm so excited that somebody's on my side. I'm like, can't even talk. And it's all caps no and many exclamation points. And she says, please, please do not take that clip off. It needs to be there. I just listened to the most recent podcast, always a highlight of my day. Oh, thanks, Marie. But she said, where you say you're considering taking out the tagline, I'm just a housewife who figured it out. So I've thought long and hard about why I like that line so much. After I heard your mom's objections and after I heard you say, another mom wrote in to say she didn't like it. I am writing now to give you a voice as to why it is so good. So here is my manifesto. Is my kind of woman. Why do I love the line? I'm just a housewife who figured it out. Well, actually, I don't love the word housewife. Whenever I have put down my occupation, I write homemaker. Much better. Housewife conjures up images of a woman with curlers and her hair watching soap operas. But homemaker is an occupation to be proud of. We are a dying breed. We get no love from the world, which tells women they must be an important job, do an important job, and bring home the bacon to be contributing to society. That's not true. It reminds me of the deleted scenes of part of the Incredibles movie. It's a cartoon, but I have little kids, so it's an important message to me. And so she goes on. She actually writes that entire portion of the film. I'm not going to recount it, but at any rate, it's Bob and Helen, Mr. and Mrs. Incredible, incognita. They are being introduced at a neighborhood barbecue, and one of the women, the other moms that Helen meets, it has a high-powered job, and then she says that she is just, you know, a housewife, a homemaker, and gets kind of a look like, oh, that's not significant. But the point is that she's a superwoman, mm-hmm. and that's her job. She's defending being a mom, Marie says. She's a housewife who figured it out. And what she figured out is that being a mom, making a home for your family, being is more important than doing. And even for working moms, if you have children, it's still a part of the job. It's, you know, being home with your children, keeping the house clean, and all that goes into it, from the laundry to the dinners, that's still a part of it, whether you work or whether you stay home full time. And it is important. But I agree, I don't think that any of us do have it figured out, except for Our Lady. She had it figured it out. She did have it. But she said, that's my manifesto on why I love that line, and I want to see you keep it in. Well, it's going to, for now, because I just can't find the original clip to pull it out. I mean, the whole montage. Yes. But I wanted to offer that. At least I have a Team Brooke. Because there are many Team Jones in this. So thank you, Mom, for being part of the show today. And if you could kind of wrap up the program in prayer today, would you offer a closing prayer?
Yes. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. O God, almighty Father, you must, I can imagine, of you sometimes just shaking your head at our frustrations and our needless stressing on small things, but you understand us better than we understand ourselves, and we are so grateful for your mercy, for your grace, for your Son Jesus, that we really focus on during this Lenten journey, with beginning with the sign of the cross upon our foreheads and the beautiful stations of the cross that bring us anew the different events and different milestones on the Via Dolorosa. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that continues to comfort, to give us the truth about ourselves, about how we need to live with the expectations that are holy but are not overbearing, that we have to do some strict penance or go to some far-flung field. It is our home, it is our job, it is our neighborhood, and we just pray with open hands, open hearts, open ears, and open eyes that just fill us with your grace, and we want to be your light and your love. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Mom.
Welcome.
If you'd be so kind, we humbly ask to leave a review on iTunes. It helps others find the show, and that tells Apple, hey, there's a program out there worth people hearing and finding out about. Thank you always for your support, for your faithfulness, spreading the word about Good Things Radio. And if you want to be a part of the show, we'd love to hear from you. Feedback is our friend. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studios for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats, so to find him online, log on to markcummingstudio.com. Thank you for being a part of episode number 45 of Good Things Radio as we get closer to the Good Things Radio retreat. We thank you for each and every listener, those that are being called and summoned to the Loyola Retreat House, and those are just here faithfully every single episode to join in the fellowship and the fun and sometimes the controversies as well. We thank you. We bless you. We pray that this Lent is a holy experience for you. Until next time, friends, God bless you.